Hello, this is James Clay with Letters from the Edge. I'm here with Jeff Minshall and Judith Mole from Direct Learn, and I'm going to talk to them about the online conference. So if you just introduce yourselves, Jeff.
Hi, James. It's nice to speak to you. As James said, my name is Jeff Minshall. I work for Direct Learn Services. Before this, many years ago, I used to be a lecturer in further education until I went freelance and started doing consultancy work and drifted into doing online conferencing.
Hi, I'm Judith Mole and I work for Direct Learn Services as well. My background isn't actually in technology, my background's in deafness, and I don't just do these online conferences, I'm also the chair of the Supporting Deaf People online conference, which we've done six of in the past.
Right, so you're both experts in online conferencing. Let's start off with you, Jeff. What are some of the key advantages for you for online conferences or online conferencing?
Well, I think there's quite a lot of advantages. One of the most interesting ones is that we've found repeatedly through all the online conferences that we've done is that the level of participation is actually much, much greater than you might expect. And it's often greater than you would find in a face-to-face conference. People engage with the discussions much more, and it becomes a much more participatory exercise than perhaps just sitting in a physical room watching someone give a PowerPoint presentation. And in the past, a lot of presenters have commented on this, that they get much more feedback and much more interaction with the audience than they would in a face-to-face presentation. And that's quite a key thing. Obviously, there's lots of other advantages as well. For example, the convenience of it, being able to access it largely from wherever you want to access it from. There's also, with asynchronous conferences, as this is primarily, the time-shifting element, so that you can take part in the discussions over a long period and you don't have to be there physically or in front of your computer all the time because it's a discussion board format. Even when we do the live sessions, we're doing more live sessions this time, then those live sessions are recorded. And so people can view them and then take part in the asynchronous discussions afterwards. There's also other advantages like cost. Even where there's a charge for conferences, as for this one, there's no associated costs such as you would get with a physical conference, like hotel bills and travel and so on. I'm sure there's lots more, but there's three or four to start off with.
Is there anything you want to add to that, Judith?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a very different experience as a conference organiser than it is as a delegate. But thinking about my experiences as a delegate, the thing that I really like about online conferencing is that you can mix with such a huge number of people from such a huge geographical spread. Especially if it's an international conference, you can be interacting with people from all over the world. And I know that's possible in a physical conference as well, but one of the things you don't usually get around to is chatting to them all. And because the things are actually written down, you can reread them, and it gives you a lot more time to kind of interact with the content. I also think that some people say that the social aspects aren't as good on an online conference, and I would disagree with that. I've got some great friends that I've only ever met online, and if I bumped into them on the street, I wouldn't know them from Adam. But we have become really good friends over the years, and I respect them a lot professionally and personally. So I think you can actually do a lot of the elements that you've got in a physical conference in an online conference as well.
Brilliant. Judith, imagine that that I'm a newbie, a new person to online conferencing. What's the kind of core advice that you would give me?
Well, two bits of advice, really. The first one is to actually set aside some time to attend the conference. Just because it's online doesn't mean that you can only, you know, attend for an hour a day. You won't get the most out of it if you do that. And there's a lot of content, so you really need to set aside a few hours a day at least. I mean, treat it as if you were at a physical conference, so if you can, take the whole day out to actually read and participate. And the other thing is to actually prioritise. It's a great advantage of online conferencing that you can attend all the sessions. In a physical conference, often there are simultaneously running workshops, and you have to choose which one you're going to go to. In an online conference, you can attend them all, but because there's so much content and so much going on, it's nearly impossible to attend them all simultaneously. So I would recommend that you prioritize your main interest areas, focus on those while the actual conference days and the discussions are running, and save the other things for the 4 weeks that you've got to catch up later.
Brilliant. Jeff, anything to add to that?
I think the most important thing is the preparation. An online conference is a real conference. It might take place in the virtual world, but it's a real conference. And I think, maybe this is perhaps less true now, but certainly in the past, and possibly people new to online conferencing, do underestimate the time commitment. It is a long, it is a major event, and it does require the participants to engage with it and to put in a lot of time to get the most out of it. I think a second thing that perhaps is important is not to be intimidated by the volume of activity. Once the conference starts proper, once people start posting in the discussion sessions, then there will be a lot of posts. I think last year we had something over 200,000 words of posts over the 4 days, which is a huge amount. And it's important not to be intimidated by that. And there are at least two ways in which we can help with that. One is that the session facilitators will post summaries at the end of each day as to what's happened within that session during the day. And it's often easier for people who've missed that day's session to just read the summaries and catch up that way. The other is, of course, as Judith mentioned, the conference is open for 4 weeks for reading after the end of the posting, so that you can always go back and catch up and see what you've missed. And that's a really valuable time, and we've found that delegates in the past do actually make use of that. So make use of all the time that's there. It's supposedly a 4-day conference. In fact, it's lasting nearly 7 weeks with the pre-reading and the post-conference reading. So there's plenty of time to make the most of it.
Brilliant. Thank you very much, Jeff and Judith. This is James Clay. That was Letters from the Edge.